Welcome to the Practical Church Revitalization Podcast. We look at revitalization in real time, examining the ups and downs of revitalizing and replanting historic and legacy churches throughout New England and the U.S. Now here's your hosts.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Practical Church Revitalization Podcast. It's been a while. I know that. It has been a tough time on many fronts for me, and I don't know if you can tell by my voice right now, I am battling what is called chronic bronchitis. I have bronchial asthma, and it is making it hard for me. I lose my voice from time to time. I've got to go through a regiment before I preach on Sundays, just so I don't lose my voice right now. This is something I have gone to clinics for because I do not have health care. I'm in a kind of a limbo state because I should, as a member of Massachusetts, have free health care. But because I work for a town, and even though I'm listed as a part-time employee, which makes me ineligible for the town's insurance, I have been working technically full-time for them, usually 5 days a week. So it has put me in a very sticky situation, especially where in this economy the church cannot pay me full-time right now, and I have to be able to make up what I can, and having health issues, I cannot work as much. So this is part and parcel of why I had to take the last several months off from this podcast, and it's I don't want to make this really about me, but I kind of, you know, our goal here is to give you church revitalization in real time. And so I've been sitting here and trying my best to just discuss, you know, come up with topics. And I actually had recorded something last week, and I decided not to upload that, and this is what I'm uploading. So this is really kind of our, you know, housekeeping segment. This isn't the meat and potatoes of this podcast, but you'll have to excuse me if I do that. I do have a drink with me if need be, but this is really, you know, what's been going on top of other things. I would ask for prayer for my situation. I'm not asking for money. You know, at one time, I think Eric and I, when we hosted this, we were hoping that we would be able to get a little income coming in from the podcast to help us out. And I think we do this more, or I do this now more, out of a labor of love for church revitalization. And, you know, I'm sitting here and I've got to be honest on one thing that's going on with me here is, recently, as I've been trying to consolidate loans, getting ready to eventually, once the paying back our, you know, student loans comes in, happens, I want to be able to, you know, do it based on pay. And I came to find out that when I was 7 years old, somebody, I don't know who, I know it wasn't my parents, because my parents, you know, my dad had a good job with the post office. from the time I was born, and my mom, she didn't even earn her GED until I was 13 years old, so neither one of them would have done this, but I did discover recently that an amount of money, a good amount of money, was taken in my name when I was 7 and 9 years old to go to a university in our area. And I don't know who it was, but I just asked for prayer because, as I've come now to discover, this has cost me jobs that I had gone after, which would have put us in a better position financially to be bivocational. It has cost us being able to move into homes. We had gone after condos and after one house and had been turned down and didn't understand because our finances were pretty good at the time. I didn't even have school loans at the time, or at least I didn't think I did, but apparently I did, and these are in default now and still on my record, and they still want it paid. But as it is, I just ask for prayer from you, because this has really been making me lose sleep. You know, my body is doing all sorts of things because of the anxiety and worry, and I really am leaning on God on this, but trying to find legal aid and legal help that will be willing to take up the fight for us has really been tough. And so if I can ask for one thing from all of you who listen to this podcast, or I don't even know how many of you are listening since it's been a while, but I really would ask that you would just be saying prayers, because we are in a situation right now where if something happened to this church because of the economy of the state and because of my own personal health right now, really can't afford to work a heavy manual labor job. It has been tough for me to do a lot of stuff, and, you know, again, this isn't about me, but I'm just, you know, trying to give it to you in real time here, in real life. We really would be homeless, and that's really been tough on me, and that's why I needed the time to step away from the microphone for as long as I did, because, you know, it's been tough. And I thank you that there's a lot of you who have messaged me and emailed me and texted me and different things to encourage me to continue on with this. And I do plan to continue on with this for as long as God wants this podcast out there. I know a lot of people would sit there and say that you're doing this podcast to make a name for yourself, and I'm not. I'm really trying to bring an awareness of the need of revitalization to New England and the Northeast. And I guess that's where you see the title of this. I am recording this just after our church prayer night, and it was really at this time where I sat there and talking with the people gathered for the prayer, really came to this realization that just as a friend of mine, Dr. Gary Moritz, had asked me a few months ago to begin praying at 9:38 in the morning, praying Matthew 9:38 for the Lord to send laborers here. And as that has become a new routine for me, and an interesting routine, because sometimes I gotta sit there and I gotta pray it while I'm in classes, and kids are there. And, I've been finding ways to do it, but the big thing is I'm sitting here and realizing, you know, as somebody said to me tonight, "Pastor, you have a voice. Why aren't you using it?" And I sat there and I had to think about what this person was saying to me. And it began to dawn on me that, yeah, I do have a voice. You know, I, like I said, I've never done this podcast to, you know, make a name for myself, but there are still some of you that are listening to this podcast and some of you wondering what's going on. And so here is what my plea is please come to the Northeast. Come to the Northeast because we are seeing things happen here. I was talking to Eric Malloy, and I know right now some people are going to wonder what's going on. I'm hoping to have him on here within the coming month or so. But I was talking to Eric Malloy, and I was telling him about a number of things that I have found out over the last several months. I have been hearing of churches closing, churches that are dwindling in number. I know of I have always termed it Mini Mega. I really do hope that becomes a name within church, you know, sizes, because I think the fact that we go from 1,000 to 2,000 or actually 500 to 1,500 as large church, and then there's nothing between 1,500 and 2,000. I really think we need that name, Mini Mega. But one of these churches I know of in this area, there is a lot of dark spiritual attacks going on in this area right now. And I know for some of you listening who are from this area, you're going to say, "I don't see it," but I do. I really do, and I don't know why people seem to be closed off to some of this. In fact, Dr. Moritz, when he came to see me and Natalie over the summer and pray with us and talk with us, and he even said it, that he had sensed a darkness in this area, that there was some kind of spiritual attack. And shortly after that, I found out that this large church closed one of its campuses, had to close one of its campuses, is now less than half the size it was, is thinking of closing another campus that it has, because of whatever this is, this spiritual darkness, this darkness coming up here. I'm part of the SBC. And if I look in our area, now we are in central Massachusetts. When I look in our area right now, which is south of Worcester, which is the second largest city in Massachusetts and in New England, in truth, we are in a region that sits about 600,000 people, between 500 and 600,000 people, and there are only 5 SBC churches for that area. And when I look at that, and I see that, I'm disgusted that we don't have church planters coming up here. And I know this is like revitalization, but I'm saying that there are 5 churches here, 3 of which are struggling, my church included. And I mean, we've grown. I've been here. I've revitalized. But since COVID, it's been a struggle. another SBC church lost its pastor in the last few months and is struggling to find a new pastor to come and pastor that church. And another church exists and it's got an older congregation and an older pastor who came in there several years ago and has been doing what he can as a lighthouse, but even he is sitting there wondering where the laborers are, because now in his town, he is the only church open. The Catholic Church has even closed its doors in his town, leaving him the only, as he says, the only lighthouse in the area. So when I sit here and I say, if you've been thinking of church planting, come up to this area. We need you. We have churches ready to even take you in. If you're sitting there and you have a group and you're looking for a building, we have churches that are willing to merge with you and take you on and bring you in, because this is needed. I look at this area and I'm like, wow. You know, and I don't know why. I don't know if I just have never really understood about casting a vision. But I look at this area and I see so much potential in my town alone, where I am in Sutton, the six towns that touch Sutton, there's 105,000 people. And I'm trying, because I grew up in a city. I know city ministry pretty well. I mean, I am the pastor, I am the pastor's kid and, you know, pastor's grandkid of two city pastors. So I know all about that. I came into this area and you begin to learn that a lot of stuff that you take in to do stuff just doesn't work, and there's no real cookie cutter way. You know, you preach the gospel, but then you got to wonder, why are people shut off? And it becomes disheartening in many ways. And, you know, I'm going to say this. If you're willing to come up here, there's going to be some things you got to know. One, it's expensive. It really is. You're going to have to build up, support for yourself. And I think that's one of the things that, for me and for the older pastor, we know this ourselves. You know, the other two churches are pretty well off. I'm going to say that, and I'm not saying that in a sarcastic or bad way. I love the pastors of those two churches. I know them. They're great guys. And God is using their churches. But for the three churches that also exist here that are sitting here and wondering, you know, we suffer because at least those other two churches, they still have parsonages. So the pastor is able to be there. Our church doesn't have a parsonage. I'm having to live inside the church as a refuge, you know, as an asylum seeker, so to speak. Luckily, we have the amenities like a shower and other things here. But it's not a legal place. I can't vote. I can't do stuff. And it hurts me in that way because, you know, I want to be able to do my duties as a Christian and citizen. But then I look at, you know, these other two churches and it's the same thing. They don't have the parsonages. So if pastors were to come here, you're going to have to, you know, buy houses. And houses are expensive. In my area alone, the median housing prices between $600,000 and $700,000. So your mortgage is, you know, ridiculous. And, you know, I don't even make that in a month. I don't even make that in 3 months, let alone. And that's what becomes the expensive thing in this area. But are we to just then say, you know, let the churches die? What happens to this area? And so this is why my plea is, you know, get the support. Come up here. Know that there are churches that are willing to take you on and take you in and help you and build up the kingdom. But there's a lot of stuff that we're trying to do here. Well, there's a lot of stuff that we want to do. There's a lot of stuff that needs to happen. You know, I look at that other church, like I said, my friend, he's in his 60s, he's a pastor. You know, he works a full-time job, he works, I think, up till 5:30, 6 o'clock, and then, like, on today, where I'm recording, on a Wednesday, he is having to drive to his church without really changing much, and get there to lead a Bible study with older people. And he does that out of the labor of his love. He lives in Providence, but his church is in Massachusetts. And this is what's going on. You know, there's another pastor I know. He's been pastoring a church in Framingham and another church up in Springfield, Vermont. And he's taken on a third church because the churches here need pastors and nobody's willing to come up here. It feels like that. No one is willing to come up here. And then this leads me to what I'm saying. And, you know, this is my plea. Please come up here. I look right now at this church that I have been connected to for years. When I was in a Christian band, this church offered us their space as practice, you know, 30 years ago. And we would go there and practice on Saturday nights, like from, I think, 4:30 to 7:30. And it was really a nice church. But I just found out last week that this church sent out an email to all their members saying, don't come to church this Sunday. We can't afford the bills. Things have just dwindled down so much and we're closing our doors. And they weren't part of a denomination, and that's the thing. You know, I don't know. Like, I know SBC, we talk about fostering and adopting. I don't know if there was any churches in that area that could pick that church up and help that church out. Then I find out another church in the next town over, Abington, and this was a church I had been talking to an SBC church saying, you should merge with this church, you should merge with this church. And the pastor of that church decided no, he was against it. And then his whole move of his church to a new building kind of flopped. And now this church, which has struggled for the last 3 years since that incident happened, and now they're getting ready to close their doors. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and, you know, I'm talking with, like, Eric, and he's sitting there saying, I don't know what's going on up there in the Northeast. And then I talk to pastors here, and, you know, you do have pastors that are like, well, you know, this is going on, and this is good, and that's good, and this is good. But if there is so much good, why are we seeing other churches close? And then we see people questioning, why'd that church close? Why'd that church close? And I really think it's part of it is what Gary told me. We need to be praying for the laborers to come up here, because here's the thing. If you have people coming up here, you have churches coming up here, they're helping each other. Those churches, as those churches grow, as those churches are getting visitors, and the people are saying, we really like this church, but, you know, you guys are about, you know, 20 minutes too far for us. Hey, you know what? There's a good church right there in this area that's, you know, closer to you guys that you should be trying out. They're the ones that helped launch us. You know, different things like that go on. And I'm not saying, even though I've been saying that there's, you know, five SBC churches in this area for 500, 600,000 people, which is, you know, means each church has, you know, got a mission field of 100 to 125,000 people. I'm not saying that there isn't other good churches. There are other good churches. But when you look at it, and, you know, I look at this area and I see the number of churches closing and the number of churches struggling, my heart right now is just torn. And this is part of why I struggled to continue this podcast, because I'm looking at this as a servant, as a laborer of the gospel, and it's not that I'm questioning, is it worth it? But I'm questioning at times, where's God in all of this? And this is the thing that I keep hearing from other pastors who have moved on from New England to other areas of the country. They're seeing the struggle up here, and they don't know how it's going to be fixed, and they don't see where God is going to fix it. You know, I mean, in our area, a lot of these churches probably should have closed, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago when they sold their parsonages to be able to put money in the bank to just keep going for another few years. And that's where the struggle goes on, because now they've caused even more heartbreak or more, you know, more work and labor to be done, because now the pastors, they're struggling to be able to come up here, provide for their family, and work for a church. And that's where I think we need to be praying. So I know this seems like a typical Donnie came here with no script, and yeah, I didn't come here with a script. I came here with this as a plea to come to the Northeast, come to New England, come to us. Get ready to revitalize, get ready to plant, get ready to replant, because we need laborers. The other thing I'm asking is pray for the laborers. We need laborers here to pray. We need laborers here, so please pray. Because that's the thing. We have a lot of churches, a lot of good churches trying to do things. We have pastors who are passionate about Christ and are trying to make disciples. But we have a lot of malaise within this area, too. We have people who have come up with a certain way, and it's really struggling for them to see really what the true mission of the church is, because they have grown up with the church in some ways. In some ways, pastors have told them that the pastors that are coming after them are going to lead them astray and lead them to do it this way or do it that way, which is totally against the Bible. And in fact, in truth, because they've done that, it's causing a lot of the heartache, a lot of the struggle for a number of these churches to get the traction that they need, because they get good pastors and they hear the message and they're like, yay, pastor, that's a great message. But what ends up happening is they've just come, they hear the sermon, and they go home, they don't do anything. And it's the pastor that's struggling going out there and on the street and meeting and doing what he's supposed to be doing. And then those people get upset when the pastor doesn't seem to be bringing people in, not understanding that they too are part of the Missio Dei, the mission of God. They want to make disciples, but those people are not willing to come to the Bible studies or the Sunday school classrooms. And then I look at churches where I'm seeing teams of people coming up here. You know, I've seen a half dozen churches where the pastor came up and he brought a team of people, and those churches are like on fire. Those churches are really doing the work of God in a mighty way. But it's because it wasn't just the pastor and his wife, but it was like a whole team. So they got like a whole DNA transplant. They're able to come in here and do the work and, you know, pastor, where can I go? How can I begin doing this? What can we do? You know, what is the mission you have for me? You know, what's God put on your heart to do? That's where we see a lot of the stuff. And right now, it's really been this thing that I've seen, that when I look at other churches that are struggling, I'm sitting here and I'm wondering, you know, can God really make himself known? And I don't doubt it. You know, understand me. I don't doubt that God can't make himself known. Or can't, yeah. You know what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that a lot of these churches, a lot of these people like to play church. And when the chips are down, rather than stay with the church that needs them the most, they take off and they go to the next church. And I don't know, because, you know, I consider myself a student of Mark Clifton, and I don't know what Mark's thinking is on this, because, you know, I see that a lot here in the Northeast, where people will just take off and go to the next church rather than stick it out. And I look at the people I have right now, and you know what? I have some good people that have told me that we're here, you know, we're sticking it out. They've seen people recently leave our church because, you know, they just couldn't take it. They were wondering, you know, was there sin in the camp? You know, why isn't this church growing anymore? Different things. And they left. And then it left us with some other people who sat there and said, you know what? We're here to the end. And I thank God for those people. And I've been praying that God would send me more people like that. And I pray right now that you will begin to pray, not just for my church, but for all the churches here, whether they're SBC, ABC, Methodist, Presbyterian, Assemblies of God, whatever the denomination, because we all are in the same boat up here. We're all seeing churches close. We're all seeing churches suffer. And I know revitalization is not just a New England thing, but I've always heard it said, as goes New England, so goes America. And basically what I've heard is whatever happens in New England 10 years later happens to the rest of the U.S. And if this is happening now in 10 years, it's going to be happening where you are. And so we've got to be active. We've got to be changing things. We've got to be active on our hands and knees, praying to God, the Father Almighty, to send in the laborers. And so again, I'll appeal to you. If you know people who have been questioning about church planting or church revitalization, send them here to the Northeast. Contact Hal Haller at the Baptist Churches of New England, who's part of the church planting, or Gary Moritz, Dr. Gary Moritz, same thing, Baptist Churches of New England, he's the revitalization guy. But there's so much going on right now. So much. We can't keep going on without getting fresh soldiers into the battle up here. And I think that's really what's been going on. When people ask me, you know, why did so-and-so leave? Why, you know, hey, Don, you're good friends with so-and-so. Why did he leave? Or, you know, hey, do you know why this church closed? I'll tell you. It's no secret sauce. It's no secret. It's because they got tired. They were on the battlefield. And, you know, every now and then we need new soldiers. We need troopers. You know, some of these guys may have only been supposed to be here for a season. And other guys are supposed to be here for a long time. But if we're not getting fresh soldiers into the battlefield and letting those soldiers take the knee and rest that they need, those guys are going to give up the ghost. And they're not going to be able to continue the fight. They're not going to be able to continue going on. They're not going to be able to continue the battle. They're not going to be able to continue what God called them to do. And while we sit here and we say, and I know this from looking at social media and all this stuff over the last several months, several years, there are people that will sit there and say, well, Don, you're not putting God, you know, he has the power to do and change and everything. And yes, I believe that. But the same thing is, I don't think God is going to let some of his soldiers, some of his people die. Because that's what's going to eventually happen. I've seen guys come up here to New England and have heart attacks as they began their ministry. And I don't say that to scare you guys away while begging you to come in. But that's how the enemy is working here. You hear New England, you hear Massachusetts, you're thinking, oh, that's a very liberal state. Yeah, it is. It's a very liberal state. I was born and raised here. And believe me, I've been to other states. I've lived in Maine and New Hampshire before they turned liberal. And I've lived in Missouri. And while I know things could be better out there, for this time and season, God's kept me here in New England. He's kept me here on this battlefield. But I can tell you, the reason why I had to take the time off is because I could not continue doing a podcast and taking care of my church. Because we need the laborers up here. We need people willing to come up here and fight. And, you know, you can listen to all these other podcasts. And believe me, I love some of the guys that do some of these podcasts. I know them personally. I'm friends with them. And, you know, they can make it sound, you know, like everything's rosy. And, you know, I'm not knocking those podcasts. You know, that's what they're there to do. You know, some of these guys have paid sponsors and they've got to keep up the bill getting paid for their thing as it is. You know, the bill for this podcast, the bill for paying for the server and everything comes out of my pocket. And I'm going to be honest that, you know, right now, we are in desperate need of soldiers. We're in desperate need of people willing to come up here, willing to take the reins, take the plow, and turn over new ground. Because I can't tell you, you know, I look at my sending church. Right now, you know, I look at what's going on, and I've seen, even though, like, I know one church, they say, became this church, pretty much every church is closed, except for two now, out of eight, that they've either planted or replanted. And that tells you how bad it is up here. So if you're going to come up here, yeah, you got to get the support. You got to have that vision. You've got to cast it. And understand one thing. When you come to New England, you are coming to an educated area. Don't come up here thinking that you have people who are uneducated. You have people that are sitting here who are going to ask you, why does the Bible say this? And they don't want a simple answer. They want to sit down, and if you have a theological mind, you can sit there and have theological discussions with them. You know, in my church right now, I have that with several people here, where we can sit down and have theological discussions. I have a couple of people who can't be on that level. But you got to understand, you know, this is the thing. If you're coming up here, don't come up here with this mindset that this, and this is going to work. Learn about this area. Find out about, you know, how strong of an area it is that needs it. The other thing is, you know, come up here. Be ready to bring a team with you. We need teams up here. We need teams that are going to come here, that are going to be able to, you know, not just plant a church, but even replant churches. Because we have churches that have been so ingrained in certain ways for 10, 20, 30, 40 years that it's going to, you know, we talk about, we hear it in revitalization that you got to turn that ship around slowly. But in truth, as you're doing that, these people are bringing in more people to bring about and destroy the change that you're trying to bring in. Whereas if you can bring a team in, you can do a lot more and see more be done. I've seen churches where they've brought in teams and a church go from 3 people to 100 people in 6 months. So be ready for that. The other thing that I would say that you need to be ready for is a lot of pushback. You know, a lot of people here, when it comes to evangelism, that is something sorely lacking in a lot of the churches up here. We talk about evangelism. We talk a good game. You know, a lot of churches will talk a good game about evangelism. But the truth is, when you talk about some of the people and you get to know some of the people, the people have this idea that every conversation there has to be a conversion. And a lot of that has to come from the fact that we are in a heavily Catholic area that became heavily IFB in the 80s. And the IFB guys seem to be thinking a lot of, you know, every conversation leads to a conversion. And when that doesn't happen, they scratch their heads and they get upset. And so they just, a lot of people, as that has been going on, they're giving up on the evangelism side. And that's what has been going on. As I talk with pastors and they talk to their people, they're finding that out, that these people cannot continue on, or not continuing on, because they are so disappointed by what they are seeing going on. And I guess the last thing I would say that this area has to have, and I would ask you to pray for it, is revival. Revival is sorely needed. This is where the first Great Awakening happened in the Northeast. That's where it started, in town Northbridge. It's North something, but Jonathan Edwards preached Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and the first Great Awakening began from that point on. And, you know, even my church in the back, our field, the hill at the top, George Whitefield spoke in 1745. And it's great to know that history, but a lot of that history doesn't mean a lot to a lot of people these days, a lot of churchgoers, because we're not teaching the history. And we've got to be teaching the history. So they don't know a lot of this stuff. And they see what's going on and they wonder, they don't know the history of the Great Awakening. And so we need to be praying for the next great awakening. We do, and I know a lot of people say they are, but we really do. We really need it up here in the Northeast, because I sit here and I talk with people. I talk with people who are still here. I talk with people who have left. And there are people who are becoming disheartened by the lack of, I guess if I had to choose a word, the lack of urgency in Christians in praying for another great awakening. So that's what we need. So if you're willing to come up here and make a go at it, understand that you may have to, you know, you and your team may all have to go in on a house together. Come up here and do it. We need laborers. We really do. Because this area is starting to see a lot of stuff go on. A lot of churches are closing. And we need laborers. We need mission teams. We need a lot of things to come up here, see the vision, catch the vision, see the urgency of what needs to go on. So that's it. That's it for this podcast, and I love you all, and I'll talk to you next week.